The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, February 3rd through Sunday, February 9th, 2025. The commentary for February was written by Nikki Mathis, an Episcopal priest, wife, and mother to four-legged and two-legged kids. When she is not playing D&D or Cookie Run Kingdom, she's working as a rector at her Episcopal church and as faculty with the Episcopal Preaching Foundation. The commentary for Monday, February 3rd, begins as follows with a passage from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 7, verse 28. "But she answered him, 'Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs.'" Here's the commentary. Apparently, beloved community isn't immune to conflict. Here, the disagreement offers an opportunity for real and deep conversation that then becomes conversion. That's what I believe is happening when this woman refuses to be dismissed and when Jesus, in his full humanity and divinity, takes the time to listen to this woman. When I'm really leaning on the Holy Spirit to help me enter into deep and compassionate listening, especially with those with whom I disagree, or worse yet, don't like, I can feel some movement toward common ground, some growth in my recognition of their full human dignity. We may not convert one another to differing views, but real listening almost always gets us closer to God and closer to one another. And that's the whole point of this Christian life, isn't it? Loving God and loving neighbor, even when it's hard or ugly or dangerous. With the Holy Spirit's help, no matter the differences, we can listen, we can talk, and maybe we can even open the door to change. And now I'll read the full gospel for this day. It's from Mark chapter 7, verses 24 through 37. "From there he set out and went away to the region of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know he was there. Yet he could not escape notice. But a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately heard about him, and she came and bowed down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile of Syrophoenician origin. She begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. He said to her, 'Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs.' But she answered him, 'Sir, even the dogs are under the table, eat the children's crumbs.' Then he said to her, 'For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter.' So she went home, found the child lying on the bed, and the demon gone. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went by way of Sidon, towards the Sea of Galilee and the region of Decapolis. They brought to him a deaf man who had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. He took him aside in private, away from the crowd, and put his fingers into his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then, looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, 'Ephphatha,' that is, 'be opened.' And immediately his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Then Jesus ordered them to tell no one, but the more he ordered them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. They were astounded beyond measure, saying, "He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." And the moving forward question for this Monday, February 3rd, is what might happen if you really listened to others, especially those you dislike? The commentary for Tuesday, February 4th, begins with a passage from Mark chapter 8, verse 5a. He asked them, "How many loaves do you have?" I love that Jesus doesn't get annoyed, alarmed, or outwardly disappointed when the disciples don't get it. That's a relief, because so often I don't get it either. It's so much easier for me to see what's impossible about a situation than it is for me to risk imagining what is possible. I am grateful when, instead of cussing, fussing, or lecturing, Jesus simply asks, "What do you have available?" So often it's not about what we don't have or can't do. It's about offering what we do have and what we can do. The blessing and breaking of the bread by Jesus is what moves us from what's most likely to what is miraculous. When we choose to partner with Jesus, He leads us from the limitations of our experience to the wonder of God's economy, the miracle of more than enough. And now I'm going to read from today's gospel passage, also from Mark, chapter 8, verses 1 through 10. In those days, when there was again a great crowd without anything to eat, He called His disciples and said to them, "I have compassion for the crowd, because they have been with me now for 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way, and some of them have come from a great distance." His disciples replied, "How can one feed these people with bread here in the desert?" He asked them, "How many loaves do you have?" They said, "Seven." Then He ordered the crowd to sit down on the ground, and He took the 7 loaves, and after giving thanks, He broke them and gave them to His disciples to distribute. And they distributed them to the crowd. They also had a few small fish, and after blessing them, He ordered that these too should be distributed. They ate and were filled, and they took up the broken pieces left over, 7 baskets full. Now there were about 4,000 people, and He sent them away, and immediately He got into the boat with His disciples and went to the district of Dalmanutha. And the moving forward question for this Tuesday is to reflect on how you might answer Jesus' question, "What do you have available?" Now let's turn to the commentary for Wednesday, February 5th. It begins with a passage from Mark, chapter 8, verse 21. Then He said to them, "Do you not yet understand?" Apparently, Jesus did have His limits, and this day was one of them. On other occasions, when the disciples are slow to catch on, Jesus appears to exercise divine patience. But not this time. On this day, Jesus lets His irritation show. After He tells them their eyes aren't seeing, their ears aren't hearing, and their minds aren't remembering, Jesus walks them through some third-grade math, reminding them of the many baskets full of bread left over after He fed the crowds. But the disciples still don't get it. They don't understand, even though they have God very literally in the flesh, sitting right there with them in the boat. I forget God's power, too, sometimes, when I'm watching the news on my screens, hearing of devastation in my friends' lives, or providing care for a relative. I can feel overwhelmed and adrift. I find hope, though, in 2 simple words from today's scripture lesson. Not yet. Jesus hasn't and will not give up on any of His disciples, not back then in the boat and not today with us. And now I'll read the full gospel passage for this February 5th. It's from Mark chapter 8, verses 11 through 26. The Pharisees came and began to argue with him, asking him for a sign from heaven to test him. And he sighed deeply in his spirit and said, "Why does this generation ask for a sign? Truly I tell you, no sign will be given to this generation." And he left them, and getting into the boat again, he went across to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to bring any bread, and they had only one loaf with them in the boat. And he cautioned them, saying, "Watch out, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and the yeast of Herod." They said to one another, "It is because we have no bread." And becoming aware of it, Jesus said to them, "Why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes and fail to see? Do you have ears and fail to hear? And do you not remember? When I broke the five loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you collect?" They said to him, 12. "And the 7 for the 4,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you collect?" And they said to him, 7. Then he said to them, "Do you not yet understand?" They came to Bethsaida. Some people brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. And when he had put saliva on his eyes and laid his hands on him, he asked them, "Can you see anything?" And the man looked up and said, "I can see people, but they look like trees walking." Then Jesus laid his hands on his eyes again, and he looked intently, and his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Then he sent him away to his home, saying, "Do not even go into the village." And the moving forward question for this Wednesday, when you struggle to see God in the midst of a difficult situation, remember the two words from Jesus, "Not yet." The commentary for Thursday, February 6th, begins with a passage from Mark chapter 8, verse 29. He asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." I think Peter's answer came not only from divine revelation, but also from his lived experience of Jesus. Prayer, studying and living Scripture, and doing the action of discipleship make the difference between knowing of Jesus and having a real relationship with Jesus. As the old folks used to say, there are some things nobody else can tell you about Jesus, 'cause you just got to try him for yourself. I'm not advocating Jesus and me, and my Bible makes three spirituality. The church is the body of Christ, of which we are each both simply and profoundly a part. What I am advocating is such a depth of relationship with the Godhead, such a dependence on the Holy Spirit to fuel our lives of individual and collective prayer, that we can't help but know Jesus for ourselves. And now I'm going to read from the full passage of Mark chapter 8, verses 27 through chapter 9, verse 1. Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist, and others Elijah, and still others one of the prophets." He asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly, And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." And he said to them, "Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see that the kingdom of God has come with power." And the question, the moving forward question for this Thursday is, what spiritual practices do you use to help you truly know Jesus? Now the commentary for Friday, February 7th. It begins with a passage from Mark chapter 9, verse 7b. "This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him." I don't think Peter did half bad here in the scene we know as the Transfiguration. If I saw Jesus and two dead guys start shining like searchlights, I would have required sedatives and a rescue helicopter and responded loudly, repeatedly, and in tongues that needed no interpretation. Well, thankfully, I don't think human response is the point. I think God's compassion is the point, or at least part of it. Maybe that's why God speaks from a cloud with simple instructions. After the sensory overload of the visible glory of God, the Son, Moses and Elijah, saying, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." God extends divine compassion, a sacred and open place where we can hear and receive truth as a means of loving transformation. Divine compassion gives us access to the covering of divine love, strengthening us to look at and go into the hard and holy places in our lives, in our ministries, and in the world. And now I'm going to read the full gospel passage from Mark chapter 9, verses 2 through 13. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So they kept the matter to themselves, questioning what this rising from the dead could mean. Then they asked him, "Why do the scribes say that Elijah must come first?" He said to them, "Elijah is indeed coming first to restore all things. How then is it written about the Son of Man that he is to go through many sufferings and be treated with contempt? But I tell you that Elijah has come, and they did to him whatever they pleased, as it is written about him." And the moving forward question for this Friday, how would you have responded as a witness to the Transfiguration? The commentary for Saturday, February 8th, begins with a passage from the book of Galatians, chapter 6, verse 1a. My friends, if anyone is detected in a transgression, you who have received the Spirit should restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. This verse sounds like preaching gone straight to meddling, but I love that there's no expectation that Christian community will be a holy utopia. Restoration to relationship and community is not about bypassing a wrong done, but rather engaging the wrongdoer with accountability and love, and engaging the wronged with healing. There is no us and them in God's economy. Them is also us. Forgiveness is a spiritual discipline that allows us to feel what we feel, but address our relationships in loving, brave, and mutually respectful ways, even if we disagree. And because abuse and oppression never have and never will be love, even in forgiveness, restitution, not retribution, and justice are still to be sought. Healthy boundary setting can stave off peril and bitterness. I have never been able to do this on my own, but with the Holy Spirit's help, forgiveness is how we can live, even if we hurt and or get ticked off at each other sometimes. And now I'm going to read the full passage from Galatians chapter 5, verses 25 through chapter 6, verse 10. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, competing against one another, envying one another. My friends, if anyone is detected in a transgression, you who have received the Spirit should restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Take care that you yourselves are not tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. For if those who are nothing think they are something, they deceive themselves. All must test their own work, when that work, rather than their neighbor's work, will become a cause for pride. For all must carry their own loads. Those who are taught the word must share in all good things with their teacher. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for you reap whatever you sow. If you sow to your own flesh, you will reap corruption from the flesh. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life from the Spirit. So let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. So then, whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, and especially for those of the family of faith. And the moving forward question for this Saturday, how can you engage in conversation this week with someone with whom you've experienced hurt or anger? Now, as we near the end of this week and the end of the program, let's turn to the commentary for Sunday, February 9th, the fifth Sunday of Epiphany. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, verse 10b. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." Instead of selecting rabbis and royalty as his first followers, Jesus called regular fishermen who may or may not have been good at their day jobs. This was probably not the best human resources strategy, but his approach makes me wonder. What if the discipleship call is not about the capacity for competence, but rather the capacity for connection and reconciliation? That's what this whole divine rescue mission is about. After all, giving fractured humanity and cracked creation a way forward. the possibility of real connection in Jesus and a means for divine reconciliation through Jesus. I think Jesus called Peter and Andrew for who they were and would be in relationship rather than for what they were already doing. Perhaps this is why Jesus was willing to start out with a group of folks who would misunderstand, be afraid, and repeatedly mess up. It gives me hope for why Jesus now partners with us. Maybe real discipleship is being open and willing to connect, willing to fail and try again, continually called and continually answering. Maybe that's the job. And now I'll read the full gospel passage from Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When they had brought him their boats to shore, they left everything and they followed him. And the moving forward question for this day is, are you open to this divine rescue mission? And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our heart's longings for the healing of our world. Knowing that you're hearing us much better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in all the holy names of God. Amen. I'm George Douglas. Thank you so much for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.